What's up, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Jets Stream, the official New York Jets podcast of Gotham Sports Network. My name is Jesse Finver, and with me, as always, is partner in crime, the man, the myth, the legend, Connor Sheeran. Connor, how we doing on this week one game week?
That's right. Week one. I'm feeling good. Excited just to watch some football. Not even necessarily some Jets football. It's Wednesday night. First games tomorrow night. We had kickoff of college last week. I know college is kind of more your thing, but
yeah, got a win under my belt with my Nittany Lions.
That's right. I'm excited. I'm just pumped to watch a little football,
Same. Absolutely. Although a little bit less pumped, I might add, with the news that we got today. We're going to get right into it, and we're going to get to our guest later, Zach Rosenblatt with The Athletic. Zach Wilson. So it was announced that he's not coming back until, at the earliest, the Steelers game in week four, which is a bit different, if you ask me, from what we were told was going to happen. We were told there's a possibility. In fact, a lot of Jets fans, including myself, were like, oh, maybe Zach's going to play Sunday. Like, if the MRI shows up and it's good and he is able to work out and it feels good, then, Zach's going to start. No, that's not the case at all. He's out for another 3-4 weeks, so it's going to be almost a 2-month injury. He's missing a quarter of the season almost. Just initial reaction, Connor, to this news.
I think everyone was a little surprised.
Yeah.
And I think my main takeaway here is I'm not as upset about him missing more time as I am being sold a bill of goods by Saleh and company that he might be back earlier.
Yeah.
Not necessarily week one. I was okay with Flacco starting week one, regardless of this other news.
Right.
I was totally fine with that. But I was anticipating in my head of, he's back. He's coming back for week two, and we'll be good to go by then. He'll be ready to play against the Browns?
It's the Browns, then the Bengals, then Bengals. The Steelers.
So I assumed that was the plan,
Yep.
And then once I heard about the Steelers being the earliest he might be back, that was a little shocking. I think my biggest thing here is that Saleh needs to stop giving timetables on guys' injuries.
Yeah.
He's wrong with Becton. He's wrong with Wilson. And I understand maybe you didn't want to announce Flacco as the guy for week one because you wanted to throw, a little bit of a smokescreen up. But, I'm more upset about the timetable thing than him actually being out.
Absolutely. Little news right here that I just saw a couple hours ago. The injury report came out. Dwayne Brown didn't practice today. It's a shoulder injury.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Other
guys on the injury report: McDermott, ankle, limited practice. George Fant, knee, limited practice. DJ Reed, back today, limited practice with his knee. And Justin Hardy with a calf, special team stud. So cool. Three of our five offensive linemen are on the injury report to start this week.
Sick.
And just awesome. Love to see that. Just really wonderful, awesome stuff right there. How about the schedule makers giving the Jets the entire AFC North to start the season?
Just the first four. Gauntlet.
They
want the Jets to not get a September win for the first time in four seasons. 2018
it's been so long.
2018 was the last one. Sam Darnold in Detroit. So
I know. Ridiculous. So, yeah, they have the Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Dolphins, Packers. Yeah, the rest. Obviously, I agree. I think that Wilson, I'm okay with him not starting. I'm not okay with, like you said, I'll use your phrasing, being sold a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that upset about it. There are things I'm far more upset about when it comes to the Jets. We're being told this is just a failed attempt at gamesmanship from Saleh. And we'll get the scoop from Zach in a little bit. I don't buy the whole who's Sala fooling? Like, you're not going to fool Harbaugh. Like, John Harbaugh is not fooling for not falling for that.
He's a lot of time as a head coach and a Super Bowl ring to prove it. So, you know,
I know.
And guess what? John Harbaugh coached Joe Flacco. So he kind of knows all there is to know about how that dude plays the game. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so yeah, now Flacco is officially starting. I mean, he played with the Jets and didn't play like that terribly last time around. He wasn't terrible. He certainly wasn't good either. But he also had a much worse supporting cast around him. Joe Flacco is very much over the hill, out of his prime, not very good anymore. I would much rather see Mike White out there. Why not? You know, he beat the AFC champs last year. although they did start their absolute ridiculous tear. Like, they went on their run after that loss. Same with the Titans. both those teams just started going crazy after they lost to the Jets last year.
They knew they just couldn't be the teams that were known as getting beat by the Jets. They couldn't let that be the only thing their season measured by.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I'd still like to see Mike White, but you know what? We're going to get to see Joe Flacco. I'm going to be at the game. I'm excited. Nice. I'm not expecting a win. I'm expecting lots of cold beverages being consumed and, you know, fun. It's just going to be lots of fun had before the game starts. And then when the game will start, and I have very cool tickets, like lower bowl, like this like club that has like free food and drink, courtesy of a friend of mine, my roommate actually, who's also a big Jets fan.
Oh man, what apartment?
I know, right? He's got a signed Quinn and Williams helmet.
Oh,
with the new one of the new helmets that's gonna be like the centerpiece of our apartment in the. Yeah, if he ever brings it, it'll be on our non-existent coffee table whenever we get one. I feel like Timmy Turner's dad is like the whole like, this is where my trophy would be if I had one. So we don't have the I just moved in last week, so we're still getting everything, you know, together. Got our couch, TV, ready for football Sundays. I will be at the game.
That's all that matters. It's all that matters. As long as you're good for, you know, football season with a nice big TV, you're good to go.
Absolutely. I think that this is we knew Zach wasn't going to start. There was like they gave us a little bit of hope, but I think we both knew.
Yeah.
It just wasn't realistic. And even if he did, like, the expectations would be low because of like he's coming off injury. He missed all training camp, didn't play in any of the games really. So, you know, I'm happy. Like, come back when you're healthy. And we'll see what happens.
Right.
We'll see what happens. But expectations are low for Sunday.
Right. And guess what? If Flacco goes out there, tears it up, he's got a good supporting cast there now. So I think that he has an ability to go out there and he can still go out there and get the job done. And as long as he doesn't throw pick sixes like he did in that Giants preseason game again. I'll be okay with it. He had that first drive. He had something going there until Michael Carter fumbled the ball.
I just know that there's going to be a pick six. I just know. Now that you said that, I mean, there's no way that there isn't a pick six tomorrow or on Sunday. Jesus, I'm like mixing up all my days. Tomorrow the Bills play. I have Josh Allen and Gabe Davis, and I have Gabe Davis in all three of my leagues. I have Josh Allen in two of my leagues. Some Jets fan I am, huh?
I have the Buffalo defense, so.
Yeah, I had the Buff defense, and I think one of my leagues. I mean, they're going to be amazing. Them and the Eagles, those are the two teams I'm high on this year. I mean, it's not really going out on a limb saying the Bills are going to be good.
Yeah.
But I think the Eagles are going to be very good. All right, so we're going to send us off to talk to Zach in a couple of minutes. Anything else? Any final thoughts before we talk with Zach ahead of this game?
We don't want
to give everything away before. Yeah. We don't want to. You know,
let me just say that the Dwayne Brown news officially caught me by surprise, and now that has me very nervous. So
yeah, I mean,
that'll be like the last thing I have to say.
Like the depth chart, like who's behind him? Because like Becton's out,
and McDermott's now out, but McDermott wasn't, you know, a tackle. So
Yeah, McDermott's questionable. It might be Max Mitchell, who's the guy who got like obliterated and was the reason why Wilson scrambled.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for
no,
sure.
No, it wouldn't. And I mean, Flacco's a lot less mobile than Zach Wilson is. So.
Yeah. Oh, all right. We're gonna get Zach in here now. And get this thing going. So without further ado, Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic. All right, everybody. Now on the Jet Stream with us, we have a very special guest. Thank you very much for coming on, Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic, Jets beat writer. Much appreciated for you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna kick us off here. Our good friend Ethan connected us. And the reason you know Ethan is because he is, you know, a very noted Giants fan online and whatnot. And first question is very simple. You went from blue to green. How's it been? Like, what's that been like for you, going from the Giants to the Jets?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, I follow the Jets, and I have friends that have covered the Jets, so I've known all the craziness that has gone on, but haven't really followed them closely or like really knew what the fan base is like. And getting to know how like crazy Jets fans are on Twitter has been a journey for sure. I'm enjoying it because like the passion is good in my line of work, obviously, because that means they want content and, you know, they want to see my coverage and stuff like that. So I'm enjoying it, but I guess I didn't know what I was in for, but I've enjoyed, I mean, we were kind of joking before about how like with injury stuff, how they're always going to handle it rationally and stuff. It's like it's the smallest. It's funny just seeing like the smallest things piss them off, like Zonovan Knight getting cut.
Oh my god,
Tyler Jackson getting cut, like, yeah. Stuff like that they'll forget about in a couple weeks probably. But just funny, just seeing the amount of like anger they have. Oh, the Jets are at it again.
don't forget all the vitriol we get online about Denzel Mims, of course. He's been quite the target of you know, a lot of agita amongst Jets fans for quite a long time. By the way, where did you go to school? Like, which team did you grow up rooting for?
I went to the University of Arizona. Nice. I worked there for a while after I graduated. I grew up like Philadelphia sports fan.
Nice.
I don't really have an NFL team anymore. Like, once you start covering teams, you kind of lose the fandom a little bit.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But yeah, so I still like root for like the Sixers, and I follow baseball a little bit. I'm down for the Phillies to win. I don't really care that much about them. And University of Arizona stuff is the one I mainly follow.
Go Cats.
You're not as big of a Phillies fan because you're talking to two Met fans. So that definitely helps a lot.
I went to the DeGrom Aaron Nola start that was like 1-0 at City Field. It was my first time at City Field. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
That is cool. Yeah, that was a fun game.
You were talking about, biggest differences between the Jets and Giants, like more so the fan bases. What would you say the biggest differences between dealing with both organizations is?
What's the biggest difference between the two organizations? I would say with the Giants, like it's all about nostalgia over there. They're like that organization is very much has been living in the past for a while. That's why it took them so long to like transition into somebody that wasn't in the Giants family and like Joe Shane. So yeah, fan base and the team, it's like very nostalgic. Everybody always, you know, thinking back to the Super Bowls and the glory days. Whereas I feel like Jets fans, you know, it's been so upsetting for so long. They had that Super Bowl to hang their hat on. Like these last, they haven't been to the playoffs in over a decade. I mean, you guys know all this stuff, obviously, but
yeah, too well to be honest.
So it's a lot more like anger and like sadness. Whereas like the Giants are like they want that. Giants fans are pissed that they're not good as they used to be. They go into every season like, you know, hopeful that it's going to turn around, and then they quickly turn on the Giants. Whereas Jets fans are like, you know, I feel like Jets fans just kind of assume the worst, and then, you know, often they're rewarded with that.
Yeah, a lot of apathy, you know. Yeah. Especially recently. All right. So obviously we have a lot to talk about because a lot of stuff happened today in Jets land. Let's talk about Zach Wilson. That's all everybody wants to talk about. All everybody wants to hear about. And it's great that we were able to get you on today of all days. There's been a little bit of a discrepancy in the announcement of this injury. Initially, it was reported that it was going to be a couple of weeks, and he might be able to be able to go for week one. And obviously, that's not the case. It was announced today that he won't be back until maybe the Steelers game, which is week four. So, like, what's the discrepancy there? Why, like, was it like a weak attempt from Saleh at gamesmanship on like Harbaugh, or like was there like mixed messaging? Like, what exactly went down with that?
Yeah, I would say it's the former. It was gamesmanship. Coaches do that all the time. He's not the only one. I don't really understand what the goal was exactly. But yeah, they knew he wasn't playing in week one on Monday, even when Saleh said that, I would say. I think if he hadn't said the word possible, because that's like,
yeah,
that's what everybody latched on. Somebody said, is it possible he'll play? He said possible. And he didn't even like elaborate on that much. He just said possible. So I think they realized pretty quickly that they made a mistake doing that. And I think that's why he came out today and is like, you know, we're not going to do this whole week to week thing, you know, where every week they're like, ah, maybe he'll play this week. And then you don't see him practice. I get why they just decided today to come out and say it. But like, because of the timing of everything, it obviously didn't look great, which is what has been the case with all these injury news things, even since I've been on the beat with the Jets. You know, the Mekhi Becton thing is the big one, obviously. And it's funny, you saw, like, when Zach injured his knee in that preseason game, Saleh was, like, quick to be like, I'm not going to act optimistic or anything. I don't want to fall into that trap again. And then maybe he did a little bit again here. just, like, a lot of the Jets' problems, like, are just happen from mistakes and like how they handle things, as opposed to like how it's act like they didn't do anything wrong handling of the injury. There's been no setbacks. They didn't, you know, try and bring him back too soon. Like, everything's kosher. But the way they talk about it presents the image of like chaos behind the scenes, but that's not the case, I would say.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely what it seems to be. What most Jets fans, I think, were upset about more than anything. Like, Jesse and I were just talking before you hopped on with us, that it seems to be that, yeah, most people aren't disappointed that he can't play week one. We obviously wanted to see him play week one, but we also don't want to see him rush back into anything and then just go out there and get hurt again. So I think, yeah, we were just most frustrated with just kind of being sold just, you know, on him possibly coming back week one. I can't imagine there's too many updates on, you know, his injury, like, since then. I know he said, Wilson said a little earlier that if it was up to him, he'd be out there, but the doctors are obviously saying no way. But you also mentioned something about there being no setbacks. What is kind of like the latest that you've heard?
Yeah, well, so he just started getting on the field and like throwing and doing some running. I think he said he did some dropbacks. He's not like practicing with the team or anything. I don't think he will this week, which the surest sign that he's a couple weeks away for sure. Like, I've always been saying at the earliest, I thought week three. So week four, it makes sense. It's like the safest side of things. I think they're doing like a slow ramp up. They're not going to rush into anything. So he's going to do a lot of this like stuff off to the side with the trainers and, you know, running and throwing, you know, slowly increasing his intensity. And then, you know, maybe next week he starts getting in there on a limited basis, and then you should maybe start seeing him in team drills the week after that or something like that is how I would think the progression goes.
Why? I think I know the answer, but I'll ask anyway. But I do want to get your opinion. Why Flacco over Mike White? What has been like the big thing in training camp? Is he just looked better than Mike White? Is it the veteran presence? What is it about that battle right there?
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination of all those things. I think they trust in Joe Flacco. Not that they don't trust Mike White, but they're very high in Joe here. They trust in the veteran's ability to, you know, just run the offense and things like that. And he has looked better in camp. It's hard to judge like that stuff generally, just because, you know, I mean, Flacco's going against the backups, was going against the backups for most of camp and all that stuff. But yeah, I would say they just trust in his ability to just run the offense, maybe like better than Mike White, who's maybe going to take more risks and things like that, and isn't as in tune with like how things work. And, you know, Joe Flacco is, I had a scout describe it to me as like, he's pretty robotic in that, you know, coach tells him where to go, that's where he's going to go. Like, he's not going to improvise necessarily. So I think they like that idea. And I think that's why they're not like freaking out necessarily because Zach's out.
Mm-hmm. Would you say them going with Flacco is more on because you also said something about him being more robotic, is do you think they have more confidence in him being able to help develop some of the younger guys than maybe Mike White?
I don't know if that's necessarily like how they're thinking of it, but yeah, I think it's definitely a fair thing. You have a veteran quarterback who knows where everybody's supposed to be. You know, I think there's a Garrett Wilson quote about the way he like just knows how to throw it at the right speed in the right place and stuff like that. Like, I think in terms of like, we're not talking about fantasy and it doesn't really matter. But like, I think Flacco being there is probably better for the receivers than even Zach Wilson, just because, you know, week to week, you don't really know what you're getting with Zach. I think, you know, Flacco, obviously, there's a reason why he's not a starter in the league anymore, but you know what you're getting with him every week.
Right.
Yeah. When Saleh was like, oh yeah, he could start in this league. And but I mean, that's just like coach hyping up his guys and whatnot. The final depth chart's been released. Was anything caught your eye?
Not really. I mean, and those things are all unofficial in air quotes, but nothing really caught my eye. You know, Michael Carter, I think he's going to be the RB1. They'll split pretty evenly though. So it's not like a real, it's like a 1A, 1B. I imagine it'll be like that until Breece Hall, you know, really shows that he's ready to take over. Even then, that this, the way the system works and with Shanahan, the way they do things, like they're always going to give a pretty nice split. I'm pretty high in Breece Hall, so I think eventually he's going to like just, you know, just be an absolute stud. But like, I think they had like CJ Uzama ahead of Conklin. That's another like 1A, 1B thing, I would say. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, there wasn't anything else that really surprised me. Like Garrett Wilson, they don't have him as listed as like a starter, but he's going to get a lot of reps. And I think eventually you'll see, like the three receivers will be Corey Davis, him, and Elijah Moore at some point, just because they're all three way more talented than Braxton. Yeah, I mean, you have Denzel Mims as like Corey Davis's backup, which he is, but he'll be inactive. Yeah, he'll be inactive week one.
Interesting.
Because he doesn't really contribute on special teams, and he can't really play more than one position. So that's kind of been the whole thing with him anyway. That's why he hasn't really been able to rise the depth chart. But
that also, like, not learning the playbook, like, what was it, 2 years ago? Like he was, like, he was wondering why he wasn't getting playing time and, like, came out that, like, he just didn't know the playbook. DJ Reed came back today, right? Mm-hmm. So is he good to go? Is he going to be on the outside, or is he going to be playing more of the slot, or is that going to be like more Michael Carter the second?
I'm not sure if he was limited today in practice. He was back at practice. They do sound like they're not worried, so I would think he'd play in week one. It'll be outside. It'll be him and Sauce on the outside. I think they'll be able to just have each of them have their own side of the field, because I think they believe in both their talents. So you don't need to have one of them traveling, which is kind of a nice thing to have. Yeah, Michael Carter in the slot. You know, you can always bump Joyner down the slot if you need to. He has some experience there.
Yeah.
I think they like Tony Adams, like a slot guy, if you need a backup there. Because they did cut Javelin Goodry, so they didn't really have like a pure slot backup. But yeah, that's how I would say it would go.
And the rest of this... Oh, Connor, you go.
No, I was going to say, like, you know, going off of defensive backs there. And I would say that Baltimore's biggest offensive weapon left is Lamar himself. You know, now they got rid of Hollywood Brown, and you know, really they have Mark Andrews, but I would say Lamar is the one who's probably most dangerous. How would you say that you see the defensive backs, really the defense in general, kind of stopping the Lamar to Mark Andrews kind of connection, and really just Lamar in general?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. You know, and one thing about the Jet safeties is that they are a little undersized, so that does, you know, pose a little matchup problem with. So I'm curious to see how they play that. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have someone spying on them. I'm not really sure who that would be necessarily yet. That's a good question to ask this week. You know, their linebackers, I think there are some questions about their linebacker group. Like, I think it's a solid group. I don't know if there's any, like, A-plus athletes in that group or anything like that. So I think you're going to have you're just going to have someone spying on them, obviously. I mean, he's a very challenging guy to defend.
And, yeah.
But, yeah, that's something I'm going to have to look into more this week. Mm-hmm.
Sticking with the defense, I see Solomon Thomas is, you know, the starting, I guess, he's the second defensive tackle listed, as they play a 3-4 or a 4-3, excuse me. Jermaine Johnson, where does he fit? Is he going to be more of a third down guy? Or like, I know Saleh rotates the defensive lineman like crazy. So how exactly is that unit going to work?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect Jermaine to have a huge role to start the year. It'll be like a passing situations type thing. They've really been like, you know, tempering expectations with him. Anytime you ask about him, they're talking about how he's, you know, still got a long way to go. He's got to develop strength. He's got to develop as a run stopper. So I think they they have four guys at defensive end that are you know, you can trust that to get a lot of snaps. They have Carl Lawson, JFM, Bryce Huff, and Jacob Martin. I think those guys are all pretty locked in. Mm-hmm. Mike Clemens has looked better than Jermaine Johnson in camp, and he can also slide inside. So that, you know, that added versatility helps him. I'm curious to see how much playing time they give Clemens and Johnson. But, yeah, I would say Johnson's role, I think, over the course of the year will increase, you know, as he starts getting more comfortable in the defense. But I wouldn't expect a lot from him in week one.
You know, one of the things that I noticed last year is the Jets really tried to involve the tight end in the passing game. They just didn't have the personnel. And obviously, you know, they've added, you briefly mentioned, you know, they listed CJ Uzomah as the TE1, but it's like a 1A, 1B with Conklin. They're clearly, like, these are probably the most talented tight ends the Jets have had since Dustin Keller. How exactly are they going to be, like, worked into the offense? I know that because, like I said, they couldn't really do a lot with who they had last year. So is it a big part of the game plan, would you think? That, like, what are you seeing in camp, like, their usage?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I didn't realize how bad the tight end position was with the Jets until a bunch of fans mentioned that. And then I, like, looked, like, pretty recently, like, just took it back, and it is legit, like, just brutal.
It's a no man's land.
Like, I guess that one year was okay from Austin Severian Jenkins or whatever. Like,
it's been a tough slog.
I'm still upset about that non-touchdown against the Patriots.
I mean, it was bad enough that it turned into a whole storyline on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So
right. Yeah, he killed one of the characters.
Yeah. Okay. We got that going for us.
But yeah, so I definitely think they're gonna be involved. Conklin has been more of a, like, a target in the offense. He was like a big standout for me in camp because I didn't really come in with many expectations for him, and he was like the number one target for, like, Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco. Honestly, like, he was getting the most targets. I don't know if that'll stay the same once the season gets here, but I think you're going to see a lot of 12 personnel. I think you're going to see a lot of them out there at the same time, especially with this offensive line is still working. It's working itself out and trying to figure out, you know, how to play with each other. And, you know, I know Dwayne Brown's banged up. I don't know how serious that is. So you might see, like, they might have the extra tight end in there as an extra blocker sometimes. And I think they like both Uzomah and Conklin's ability to block. And that's why they drafted Ruckert to be a blocker. So you're going to see the tight end be a bigger part of the offense this year. It's funny. They have, like, an embarrassment of riches for the first time in probably a long time, because they have, you know, three or four receivers that you believe in and trust. And you have two tight ends and you have two running backs. You can only play so many of them at once, and you can only throw to so many of them. But yeah, I just, the tight end is going to be a big part of this offense. I don't know if you add up Conklin's and Uzomah's stats, it'll probably look pretty good. I don't know if either one of them will individually have, like, an amazing year, but yeah, the talent is definitely there. I think Conklin's the more talented one. I'm curious to see how the snaps play out with those guys. I imagine it'll be pretty even split.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that throughout the preseason, and you mentioned Ruckert, he was only out there kind of in, like, the fourth quarter, that sort of thing. And of course, he got that touchdown in the first preseason game, and we were treated to that nice video of his dad, who is just
Bill, yeah.
That's a man. Yeah. He's just the absolute dude. So I'm curious to see, like, how you think how he might fit in going forward. Is he something that they might try to start squeezing him into stuff as the season goes on, or is it just kind of where they might be able to work him in?
Yeah, I think him even more than Johnson. I think the fact that he's the third tight end means they kind of have to keep him active on game day, because I don't know if you really trust Lawrence Cager to.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the talent as a receiver, but I don't know if you want him to do all the other stuff. But so I think he'll play a role on special teams, Ruckert, and I think you might have him come in as an extra blocker sometimes, like I mentioned. But I don't anticipate him having a huge role this year. Maybe later in the season, you know, if things are off the rails, which you don't want to see, obviously. But so I wouldn't anticipate a huge role for him, but they did pick him in the third round, so they obviously believe in him as a guy that can contribute right now. So I think that'll come more with the blocking than, you know, as a pass catcher.
I want to touch on another rookie, somebody who, honestly, like, outside of a bunch of features, I haven't really seen a lot from you beat writers. And that might be a good thing, honestly, because the less you hear about a cornerback, usually is a good thing. Gardner, Sauce Gardner, how is he stacking up against this wide receiver core? This is obviously, I'd say this is the most talented wide receiver unit the Jets have had since 2015 when they had Decker and Marshall. So you have, like, legit guys out there that he's facing, like, real NFL talent. Is this Is this a guy that Jets fans should really get excited about, or is it like another Dean Milner?
There's the negative Jets fan, and you just seeing if that you got to think like that.
Of course.
I've been blown away by him. I think he's the real deal. I said this throughout camp. Like, I don't think I saw him get beat one-on-one, like, in practice, like, almost at all.
That's good.
He physically looks the part, like, in a way. I've never seen a corner that looks like him. He's just so long-limbed. He's very athletic. He's confident. He's tough. Like, he's smart. Like, he knows where to be and things like that. So I think he's going to go through his bumps and his growing pains as any rookie corner would. It helps that you have DJ Reed on the other side, though he might get targeted more because of that, I guess. But yeah, I think he's the real deal, and I think fans should definitely be excited about him. I would be surprised if he doesn't live up to his draft position.
What do you think of this comp, Antonio Cromartie?
Yeah, I've heard that. It's interesting because he's kind of a playmaker type like that, I think. I think his ceiling is like to be better than him potentially.
Yes.
That's an interesting comparison because of their size and all that stuff.
Yeah, because when you said like I haven't seen like a corner like him. Like, I immediately thought, like, the last guy I've seen with his, like, length and, like size is Cromartie. And we got a very good look at him for a bunch of years, us Jets fans. So I'm very excited about this. Like, the secondary has been a big issue. Like, I'd say, like, I mean, since Revis left, the secondary has been a legitimate issue every year. And it's always been I feel good about the front seven. You know, whether it was like you had Muhammad Wilkerson before he signed that big contract, then you got Quinnen, Sheldon Richardson, all these like front seven guys that the Jets have invested in, but they really haven't invested a ton in the secondary. It finally feels good to be able to like look at these guys and be like, all right, I have confidence. Like Jordan Whitehead and DJ Reed come from two winning organizations. I wanted to also ask about Whitehead. What have you seen out of him? What has he like fit the bill?
Yeah, he's been very impressive to me. I think he's going to wind up being like one of the steals of free agency just because they got him for a pretty cheap contract. And I think he's legit. Like we'll see how it looks once the season starts. They don't really have a lot of help for him at safety because you have Joyner who's coming off that injury and the depth is pretty bad there.
Yeah.
They're relying pretty heavily on Jordan, but he impressed me quite a bit. I think he made plays throughout camp. And I think they just trust him to be like a stabilizing force on the back end.
The real question that I have now about Sauce is, have you tried his Buffalo Wild Wings sauce?
I have not. I want to, though.
He has a Buffalo Wild Wings sauce?
You didn't hear that? You didn't hear about that?
He has a sauce. It's called Sauce Sauce. It's a limited time thing. I did an interview with him, a one-on-one thing for him for my podcast for it. Another Jets writer, Andy Vasquez, who covers for the FrenJay.com, like, wrote a whole like review about his sauce.
That's amazing.
No free ads, but yeah.
Of course. No, they got to get his sauce on Hot Ones.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that. He'd be a great guest on Hot Ones.
Oh yeah.
He's got to accomplish a couple of things before he can get on Hot Ones. You know.
Yeah. That's a great show though.
There's like a part of me who like doesn't even want to call him Sauce. You know, because like.
Want to be like the veterans on the team? Call him Ahmad.
I like that they do that. Like, he's a rookie. And while I love the nickname Sauce, like, I don't want, like, it's like buying a jersey of a player, right? Like, you don't want to buy the jersey until you know that he's going to be, like, this guy's going to be on the team for a while. So, like, I bought a Jamal Adams jersey. That didn't work out. And, you know, Connor and I have a wonderful relationship with Jamal, the Prez, as we used to call him. We just hate him. That's basically what it is. It was like a nice like black jersey. Like I was so hyped. Like that picture with like all those guys. Like when the jerseys got released, like none of them are on the team anymore. You know?
not a single one
of them.
Danger in buying jerseys for players from the Jets. Like I would take. I imagine. That's right.
I know a guy I work with.
Unless you have a Thomas Hennessy jersey, then you're okay.
I have a guy I work with. He has two cats, I think, and they're named Sam and Jamal. That was a bad break for him.
Yeah, that's brutal. All right.
I used to buy a lot of Eagles jerseys when I was younger. So I have, there's like a lot of old ones in my I don't know if I still have him. There's like a Dante Stallworth, like a Jeff Garcia. There's like there's a LJ Smith, a tight end.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some random ones. Yeah, you get hyped about a guy when like
Garcia. That's a good one.
Although Jeff Garcia did lead to one of the all time internet videos of all those drunk Eagles fans after they won that playoff game, where the guy just starts saying Jeff Garcia, he's our baby, and he's taking us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Connor, do you have anything else left for Zach before we let him go?
I think just which unit do you think the Jets fans should be most pumped about watching on Sunday?
Most pumped about? Oh man, that's a good question. I'll give you two. I'll go offense and defense. I'd say on offense would be wide receiver, just because they have such fun young talent, and those three guys, they have like such a diverse skill sets. Like I don't think any of the three of them are really even crossed over in their skills very much between Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Corey Davis. And if those guys stay healthy, like that's a legit one of the most talented trios in the league. And then at corner, like you guys are talking about, I even remember last year looking at that roster going into the season and thinking like, how could a team go into the season with those guys at corner? Like I hadn't even heard of those guys. Like it was on paper, it wound up being maybe not as bad as like you thought it'd be the best ever. And then it wasn't like Bryce Hall was fine or whatever, you know? Like,
right. No, we were like, I remember our preview pod, we were right. Like, all right, like this is going to be like the worst secondary in the history of football.
Looked like,
They ended up being all right. Like,
they were not the issue on defense last season. They weren't good, but they certainly weren't the biggest issue on defense.
They wound up being all right. And then on top of that, all the guys that started last year are backups this year, which says everything about the talent level.
Yes.
You have Brandon Echols in the back. You have Brandon Echols and Bryce Hall. You know, those are starting caliber corners probably for a lot of teams. And they have them, or at the very least, they're like number three corners. And a lot of teams are always looking for good corners. So that's a positive thing. I think the combo of Sauce and DJ Reed, I'm very interested to see how it plays out, how teams go after them, things like that.
Yeah, you know what? All I want is just it to be like a 3rd and 18 and they don't let up a 20-yard run. It happened too many times last season. Yeah. That's all I want. All right, last question for you, Zach, before we let you go. Again, thanks so much for coming on the show. Prediction for Sunday, if you can give one, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
Man, I've been thinking about that all week. I still hadn't come to a conclusion yet, so I'll think on the spot. I mean, I'm going to lean towards the Ravens winning. I do think the Jets, like if the Jets were going to steal a win from the Ravens, like this is the week to do it because, you know, they have a new defense. There's all the weird Lamar stuff. Like their offense hasn't really practiced together. Like there's all the pieces are in place, and the Jets, talent-wise, like if you go position by position, it matches up more than you would think. Just not at like quarterback, which obviously is a is a part.
Of course, yes. So, yeah.
I'll say Ravens 24, Jets 13.
No cover for the Jets.
Yeah, I think it could wind up being closer. It's just like hard as we sit here, like, you know, 4 or 5 days out or whatever. Like, you know, just, there's a lot of uncertainty with this offense, the offensive line, stuff like that. So, like, the Jets have a lot going against them, too. So, but I do think it's going to be competitive. I hope it is. It'd be nice to cover a win, and so I can be like I'm the good luck charm coming into this beat. But
hell yeah, that's what we need.
I love the rivalry that you and Connor Hughes have started. By the way, it's fantastic.
A rivalry / bromance. Yeah, it's
yes. Like, yeah. I love it. I love it so much.
Bromances with like all like, the other beat writers. Him and DJ.
Yeah.
Still with the Jets, just warm my heart every time they interact.
Yeah.
All right, Zach. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I know you're a busy guy with this is a busy week as a beat writer in the NFL. So good luck this weekend and go Jets, man. All right. So that was Zach Rosenblatt, Jets beat writer for The Athletic. Thanks again to him for coming on the show. Connor, any takeaways from our conversation with Mr. Rosenblatt?
I think it was about kind of a lot of what we were expecting as far as the Wilson stuff goes. You know, it was good to talk to someone who's actually been in the room. You know, we're obviously outside observers here and kind of following along with everything that guys like Zach, you know, post.
Put
out and follow that in real time. So it's good to hear from someone who's actually been in the room and spoken to Salah, spoken to Zach Wilson and stuff. So, but I think him talking a lot about the defensive backs, you know, especially Sauce, got me very excited.
Yeah, same.
You know, that's I'm excited now to see them play in a real game together, especially when they have a chance to really kind of showcase themselves in a, against a team that doesn't have as many offensive weapons when it comes to wide receivers.
Yeah, I want to see how he does against Rashad Bateman. Like, I'm very excited to see how the secondary holds up against arguably like one of the weaker passing attacks in the league.
Which is weird to say when the quarterback's Lamar Jackson, but
yeah, of course. Yeah. So, all right, I think that's. I mean, I'm the same. I'm with the I'm with you on the secondary. I'm also like he mentioned the other unit, the wide receiver group. Very, very excited about that. So any final thoughts, anything before we wrap up here?
Well, it's week one. Hopefully when we talk again next week, we'll have a win to talk about, you know?
Yeah, man. It's good to be back. It's good to be back in football season. I can't wait to eat those words come next week when it's not going to be good to be back. All right, folks, that's it for us here. If you want to listen to this podcast, any of our episodes or any of the other podcasts of Gotham Sports Network, you can go to GothamSN.com or you can go to Apple, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, or Stitcher and search Gotham Sports Network. You can, you know, search the Jets Stream, New York Giants Daily, all these great pods, podcasting and Pinstripes. Yeah, all these great pods we have. Yeah. Give us a listen. Give me a follow on Twitter at Jesse Finver. Connor, where can they follow you?
At the NJ Mick.
At the NJ Mick. I got the Yankees pod right. I got that name right.
Yeah, podcasting and Pinstripes.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
As Mets fans, you know.
Again, we're as Mets fans. It's hard to remember sometimes anything Yankees.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll see you next week, bud. Go Jets.
Go Jets.
Peace.